Today's daf is daf test. We got to the bottom of daf ches and beis. The new Mishnah taught us that this machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Chachamim about whether or not the Svarim, Sefer Torah, could be written in any Lashon or only Yevanis according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara now quotes a Braisa which says as follows. A little bit confusing. Last few lines of ches and beis, quoting from the Mishnah, Svarim nichtavim mechol Lashon v'chulei, Reminu asks the Gemara, based on this Braisa, Mikra shekasu targum. And Targum Shekasu Mikra, if you have a Pasuk, a Lashon HaKodesh that's written in the Aramaic, the change of language, or you have an Aramaic Pasuk, a Pasuk in Targum, which we'll see an example of shortly, that's written in Lashon HaKodesh, those are two examples that's Pasul, it's not good. And let's say you write Ksav Ivri, where you keep the language but you change the script. So either you're changing a language or you're changing the script. Both of these categories, Eina Matamas Yadayim, it's not Matamas Yadayim, which means it's not going to qualify for Kisei Kodesh. It has to be written in the proper script, in the proper language, on klaf, and using the proper ink. So we see it has to be dafka b'lashon kodesh, where our Mishnah says it could be written either b'chalashon according to the Tanakama, or Yevanis according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara answers, Amar Rava lo kasha, there is no contradiction going now on to daftes, kan begufan shalanu, kan begufen shelahen. What's going on here is that our Mishnah, which says you can write in other languages, is referring to using our ksav. Begufen shelahen means our ksav, ksav ashuris. So you change the language, but you use the same osius, the same ksav. So as if you're writing, let's say, in English, but using Hebrew letters, like Ramosha oftentimes had done is in the Shuvas, he writes an English word using Hebrew letters. So if you write English language with Hebrew letters, ksav ashuris, that would be acceptable according to this answer at least. That's what our Mishnah is referring to. But Khan, the Braisa, where it says it's no good, is Begufen Shelhen, where you change the script, that you change the language and also the script. You imagine you write everything in English, even using English letters. That's where we say it's Pasul and not Mitame Esi Adayim. So it comes along now, Amar Le'Abai. Abai says to Rava, B'mayo Kimtu Lahahi, Begufen Shelhen. How could you say that Braisa is referring to their script, their ksav? My Irya, Mikra shekasu targum, the targum shekasu mikra. Why do I have to give an example of changing the language of Hebrew to Aramaic and Aramaic to Hebrew? Afilu mikra shekasu mikra, targum shekasu targum. Even if you kept the right language in Nami, it still would have been a problem if you changed the script. Dakatani adshich tevenu ashuris al sefer v'dio. In other words, if the real problem is that whole Bryce is referring to using different script, different letters, so who cares about changing language, Hebrew to Aramaic to Hebrew? Even if you kept the proper language in, it would still be a problem, all those cases, because it wasn't written in the proper script. So the Gemara says, Ela Lokasha, that wasn't the answer. It wasn't a question of using different letters or not different letters. Really, the difference is Ela Lokasha. Ha Rabbanan, ha Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah, which allows the Sifrei Torah to be written b'chalashon, that's the opinion of the Tanakhama. That's what they hold. The Braisa, which did not accept it, is the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who only allowed you to write it in Yevanis. But to change Hebrew to Aramaic, that wouldn't be acceptable, only to Yevanis. And even Aramaic to Hebrew wouldn't be good. The only different language you could change to is Yevanis, and that's why it was possible, because that Braisa is referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So Gemara says, wait a second, if that's the case, so why is the Braisa conclude it's only good if it's written in Ashuris, it should even be good, ha'ika Yevanis, even if it was written in Greek, it would be acceptable. So it's hard to say that Braisa is referring to Rabban Shimon Gamliel. So Ella, lo kasher, there is no contradiction, kan besvarm, our Mishnah is referring to Sifrei Torah, that can be written b'chalashon, Torah and Vim Ksuvim, and kan the Braisa is referring to Tefillin and Mezuzos. It wasn't referring to Sfarim. The Braisa didn't say anywhere referring to Sifrei Torah. It was referring to Tefillin. And the Tefillin, we say, Mikra that's written in Aramaic, Aramaic that's written in Mikra, that's not good until everything is written in Ashuris. So the Gemara then says, okay, so Tefillin, we'll get to the question, where do you find the Aramaic in the Tefillin in just a second. But Tefillin and Mezuzos, my time. What's the reason why Tefillin and Mezuzos must be written in Lashon HaKodesh, in Ashuris? It can't be written in any other language. Mishim dechsiv, hayu, it says vahayu adim ha'ela, which means vahaviyasam yihu, it should remain the way it was given, which means Ashuris Lashon HaKodesh. So Gemara says, okay, so now we've established that Braisa, that only is kasher if it's Lashon Ashuris, Ksav Ashuris, that's referring to Tefillin and Mezuzos. Fine. Problem is, as follows. My targum shikasu mikra ika. Where do you find a targum, Aramaic words in mezuzah and tefillin that might be changed to Hebrew? That would be a change to Hebrew, but the original words is Aramaic. Bishma, I understand if you said that Bryce is referring to Svarim, it was referring to Torah. Ika, there's a pasuk Yigar Sadusa. That's a pasuk in the Torah. So that's Aramaic. And that's a Targum that they wrote in Mikra accidentally, or even on purpose. That would be the example that you have Targum in the Torah. Elahacha, if you establish that Bryce to be referring to Tefillin and Mezuzos, my Targum Ika, there are no Targum words. There are no Aramaic words in Tefillin or in Mezuzah. So you can't say that Bryce is referring to Tefillin. Ela Lokash, the Gemara says, there's no contradiction. Kan bimegilla, kan bisarm. Referring to Megillah, Megillah's Esther, that it must be written in Ksav Ashuris, Lashon Ashuris, that's the Braisa, and the Mishnah's kan bisarm. So the Sifrei Torah can be written b'chol Lashon, but the Megillah must be written dafka in Ksav Ashuris, and the Megillah is what the Braisa is referring to. So Megillah my time. Well, what's the reason why the Megillah must be written dafka in Lashon and Ksav Ashuris? The Chsiv Beit says in the Megillah, Kichsavam uchilshonam, that you write them in its language, in its writing, which refers to the way it was written initially, Ksav Ashuris and Lashon HaKodesh. So my Targum Mishikasa Mikra Ika, that means that Brisa is referring to Megillah. That must be, then there's the Aramaic words that appear in Megillah. Where do you find Aramaic words at all in Megillah's Esther? And the Gemara says, I'll tell you, Amra Papa Vinishma Piskam Hamelch. Piskam is a Lashon of Aramis, it's Aramaic. Rav Nachman gives another example. Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak Amar, V'chol ha'nashim yitnu yikar levaleim. The word yikar means Aramaic, but it's an Aramaic word for kavod. So that's the understanding. So now we understand the Bryce is referring to Megillah's Esther. That must be in Lashon Ashuris. So then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, we had said earlier, one of the suggestions was that the Mishnah was referring to Rabbanim, and the Bryce was referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, Kitanyahi, that Bryce is referring to Shar Svarim and the Shita of Rabbi Yehudi. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel felt that when he said Svarim can be written in Lashon Yevanis, he was only referring to Torah itself may be written in Lashon Yevanis, as we're about to see that famous story in just a second with Tami Amelach. But Lagabe, Nevim, and Ksuvim, the other Svarim of Nach, that even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it doesn't work only dafka b'lashon hakodesh. So when the Brice is referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, it was consistent. It didn't say Yevanis because it wasn't referring to Torah. It was referring to Nevi'im and Ketuvim. In other words, our Mishnah that says chol asvarim kasher v'chol lashon, that's the sheet of Chachamim that allow all Sifrei Tanakh to be written in lashon hakodesh, rather chol lashon. The Bryce is referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, but Dafka, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim, that only Lashon Kodesh is allowed for Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Yes, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows Torah to be written also in Yevanis, but that's not what the Bryce is referring to. The Bryce is referring to Dafka, Shar Svarim. That's the understanding of Rashi and the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who felt that the Heter of Yevanis only applied to Sefer Torah in the world of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So the Gemara says, the Tanya, the Bryce says, Tfilin and Mezuzos, Ein Nechtavin Ela Ashuris, V'Rabboseinu Hetir Yevanis. Then when it comes to Tefillin and Mezuzos, that you can only write in Lashon Ashuris, and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, they felt even that you could even write it in Yevanis. So the Gemara says, you could write Tefillin in Yevanis? Is that really true? V'aksiv avahayu, that Tefillin must be dafka in Lashon Kodesh. Everybody agrees to that. So how could Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, how could Rabbi Seinu say, you can even write Tefillin and Mezuzos in Yevanis? It must be Ela Ema Svarim Nichtavim B'chol Lashon Rabbi Seinu Hitiru Yevanis. That the Svarim, that the Tanakhama holds, that the Svarim can be written in any language. Rabbi Seinu, who's referring to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, allows only to be written in Yevanis. So Gemara says, Hetiru Mechlal de Tanakhama Aser. So if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows you to write Yevanis, that implies that Tanakhama says it's Aser. But we just said, Tanakhama says you're allowed to write B'chol Lashon. So what's the extra heter that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel has? Ela Ema, Rabbi Seinu, Lo Hetiru Shiksa Akasu Ela Yevanis. The language is really that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Rabbi Seinu, only allow it Yevanis. In other words, Tanakhama allows Svarim b'chol lashon. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allows only Yevanis by all the other Svarim. So on that comment, that we have this machlok, is pretty much the same thing as the Mishnah. That Svarim b'chol lashon, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says only Yevanis. And on that comments the Brice of Atanya, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Af kishi yetir Rabbi Seinu, Yevanis, and even when Rabbi Shimon Gamliel permits you to write it Yevanis, lo hetiru ela b'sefer Torah, only by Sefer Torah, u'mishim ma'isa de Talmi Melch, as we're about to see. But lagabe nevim k'suvim, that he never allowed you to write it in Yevanis, and therefore we could go back, says Rav Ashi, to read the Brisa, to tell us when the Brisa said only Ksav Ashuris, that was the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that he did not allow Yevanis by nevim and k'suvim. So dafka lashon kodesh works by the nevim and the k'suvim. So what's this famous Brisa that we all know? The Tanya, the Brisa tells us the Ma'isa b'Talmi HaMelech. Shekines Shivim Mishnaim Zakenim. He had gathered together the 72 members, connected the 72 members of the Sanhedrin. So he was machnis them to hichnisam b'shivim shnayim batim. They all went to 72 different houses or different rooms. V'logilu lehem al kintam. He didn't tell them why he was gathering them each separately. V'nichnas eto kol echad v'yachad. He walked inside each room to tell each of these sofrim. V'amr lehem, he told them, kisu li Torah Moshe Rabchem, Taras Moshe Rabchem. Write for me your Torah that you were given by Moshe Rabbeinu and write it in Greek. V'nasna kadosh baruch hu b'lev kol echad v'yachad eitza v'skimu kulan das achas v'kasu lo. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Ruach HaKodesh to all have the same ideas, and they ended up writing the same exact translation of the Hebrew. 72 people, 72 rooms, no coordination. Kadosh Baruch Hu made a nes, and they all wrote the same exact translation. And the Gemara now goes through all the different changes that they had made to avoid any questions of Talmi HaMelech that they shouldn't challenge them in terms of how many gods there were and other things that might insult them and offend them. So the Gemara goes one by one what they had changed. And this whole story is why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allowed the Torah to be written in Yevanis, because of this Maisa. But any other language was not allowed. So what are the examples? So the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to give you the Hebrew, because the Greek we won't do much for us. But when we say the Hebrew, it was how they wrote it in Greek, really. Elokim bar bereshis. Now, we know the Pasuk really says bereshis bar elokim, but they change it to elokim bar bereshis, because if you translate the word literally bereshis bar elokim, it sounds like at first he created God. God was the first creation. Now, God was never created, obviously. God was the one who created. So they had to change the wording around, the order, Elokim bar bereshis. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created first to go on to say, it's a Shemayim v'es Aretz. That's the first change that they all had made. The next change they made was, Esa Adam B'Tzelem Udumus. I made Hashem, that means I made a man. Now the Pasuk says, Nasa Adam B'Tzelem Edel. He says, let's make a man together. Now that implies that there were multiple creators, multiple gods. That of course is not true. So Rashi says he just consulted with the Bez and Shemal, whatever that means, but of course there's only one God. So not to have the Greeks think that there are multiple gods, they change it to Esa, I in the singular, I Hashem created a man. The next change they made is Vayichal Bayom Hashishi Vayishbos Bayom Hashvi. Hashem completed the work on the sixth day and he rests on the seventh day, as opposed to saying Vayichal Akim Bayom Hashvi, which sounds like he finished the work on the seventh day. They didn't want the people to accuse HaKadosh Baruch Hu of doing work on Shabbos, so they had to write explicitly Vayishbos Bayom Hashvi. He rested on Shabbos, didn't lift a finger on Shabbos. That was the third change. The fourth change is Zachar Unikeva Biro, that he created a man and female, as opposed to Zachar Unikeva Baram. They changed it to Baro, below Kasu Baram, so people shouldn't think again that Kadosh Baruch Hu had created multiple people initially. It was one part of one being that Hashem initially had created. And then the next change was Hava Erdav Evla Sham Svasam by Migdal Bavel. The Pasuk really says Hava Nerda, let's go down, let's descend together, which implies that there were multiple gods, multiple people making decisions, so they changed it all to Hava Erda, I will go down myself, Hashem said. The sixth change is Batitzchak Sarah Bikroveh, and she laughed in front of her relatives and those who were close to her. The Pasuk really says Batitzchak Sarah Bikirba, and she laughed inside. Now, why did they change this one? Because it sounds like Kadosh Baruch Hu got upset at her for laughing. Now, who is she laughing at? The literal reading is she was laughing at Hashem. So it sounds like Hashem got insulted because a human laughed at him. That sounds inappropriate. Why is Hashem making such a big deal? But if she laughed at other people, that would make more sense why Kadosh Baruch Hu would get upset at her for laughing. So they changed it from Bikirba to Bikroveha. The seventh change is when it came to Shimon Levi, it says, Ki ba'apam hargu shor uvertonim ikru avus. That with their anger, they killed a shor. Now, had it written literally what it says, they hargu ish, they killed a person, and they were uprooting a shore, that if that's what it had said, it sounds like the Avos are murderers. They killed the whole city of Shechem. So they changed it to not ish, but rather they killed a shore, and this way they shouldn't get upset that the people didn't be described, Shimon Levi in the Pesukim. The eighth change is, it says, Vayikach Moshe's ishto, he took his wife, Vesbana Vayakivem al Nosei Bnei Adam, on that which man rides, that even though the Pasuk says he rode on a donkey and a chamor is not such a nice animal for a person to ride on. A king really rides on a horse, or maybe a camel, but not on a donkey. So they took out the word chamor, lest they say that your king, your leader, your Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a poor person, wasn't much of a leader. Which leader rides on a donkey? So they all changed that as well. The ninth change is it says, Moshe b'nei Yisrael asher yashu b'mitzrayim uv'shar ratos arba me'el shana. The Pasuk really says, shloshim shana v'arba me'el shana, 430 years, but they changed it to write only 400 years because the calculations are a bit tricky, and they didn't want Talmi HaMelech and the Yevam to accuse them of making miscalculations, so the real pure number on the outside was really 400, even though we know internally it was really 430, but he wanted to make sure no one made any confusions. The 10th change, it says, Vayishlach es zatute b'nei Yisrael. When it came to Kabbalah Satara, it says in the Pasuk, Vayishlach es nare b'nei Yisrael. The Pasuk actually says, they sent the young boys to go bring karbanos. And then they felt, that's very strange, why would the young boys represent Klai Yisrael to bring a carbon at Kabbalah Satara? That's a big zilzal. So they changed the words to Vayishlach es zatute b'nei Yisrael, which is some level of chashivas and great people and officers. They're the ones who represented it, and they changed the same thing here. Velzatute b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado. It says atzile. Atzile is not such a strong language, so they use the word zatute elsewhere to show you that this is not a made-up word. This is a word that's used elsewhere in the Torah of, again, not narim, not young boys, but really important officials. Now, the 11th change they all made together was lochemed echad mehem nasasi. So the pasuk really says that after Adas Korach, Moshe got very upset, and he said that lochamer echad mehem nasasi. I didn't take even a donkey. Now, I didn't take a thing. I didn't get any benefit, any money, any spoils. Now, one would have said, you didn't take a donkey, but you took other things. So to make sure that it was clear that Moshe didn't take anything, lochemed echa, not one item. I didn't take anything at all. I didn't want anything. Lo sachmod. I didn't take anything from you. That was all the change they made. That was the 11th change. Now, the 12th change is, asher chalak Hashem lokecha osam lohahir l'chol amim. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the stars and the moon, so it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that he created them. Now, you might think he created them for people to worship. So they have to underscore the fact that it wasn't to worship, obviously. It was lahayir. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the stars and the moon to bring light into the world. So they use the word lahayir. That was the 12th change. And then the 13th change is, it says, Vayelech vayavod Elohim acherim asher lo tzivisi lo'ovdom. He had to add the word lo tzivisi, that I did not command you to serve, lest the one say that Hashem created the gods to be worshipped, rather the moon and star to be worshipped. So he added the word lotzivisi. Hashem commanded you not to worship these beings, these forces. And the 14th and the final change they all made was v'kasvulo es tziras haraglaim, instead of the word lokasvulo arneves. Arneves, although it refers to a rabbit, it was also mipnei she'isha shatamia arneves shema. The wife of Tommy was arneves. They didn't want people to say they're making fun of by putting the word arneves somewhere in the Torah. They thought maybe making fun of his wife. Shlo yomar sachu kia bia yehudim v'etilu shem ishti batorah. They thought maybe they kind of stuffed it in there somewhere. They wouldn't notice it. So they didn't want to be very, very sensitive. So they changed the word arneves to tziras haraglayim. And this way, they all, Baruch Hashem, the nays happened. All 14 changes were made by all 72 of these tzaddikim. So now the Gemara says as follows. According from the end of the Mishnah from yesterday, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer af bisvarim lo hitiru sheichsu el Yavanas. He only allowed one to write in Greek when it comes to the Sifrei Torah, according to Rabbi Yehuda. So Amr Rabbi Abo, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Halacha, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that's why Paskin, that you're only allowed to write a Sifrei Torah either in Lashon Ashuris or in Yavanas. The Amr Rabbi Yochanan, my time, the Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what was the reason? Amr Kar, why did he allow for us? He's brought this whole mice of Tamei Melech, but it's really based on a Pasuk. What does the Pasuk tell us in Noach? Amakra, Yaft Elokim Li Yefes, Vishkon and Baal Hashem, the beauty of Hashem in Yefes, and they're going to sit in all Hashem. What does that mean? Dvarim shall Yefes you be all Hashem. That the words, the language of Yefes, of which really refers to the continent of Europe, they should be in the all Hashem, the place where Hashem, where we learn in the Torah, you have a heter of writing a European language. The Ema Gomer Magog, maybe it's one of the other languages, maybe I don't know if it's German or whatnot. But Europe is a very large continent with many countries and many languages. So why are we dafka choosing the Greek language? So Amar Rabbi Chir Bar Abba Hayinu Taima Dichsev Yaft Elokim LeYefes. The double lashon Yaft, the most beautiful place of Yefes, most beautiful place of the continent of Europe. Yefusu Shel Yefes. What's the most beautiful place? A beautiful language? Yehei Baal Hashem. That's referring to Greek. Greek is the heter that one can write in Al Hashem, and that's the basis of Shitas Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So now, yeah.
The Shitas Tanakh.
Yeah.
You don't pass the
link. Correct.
So they hold that you could literally write
the whole lashon. Yeah.
The whole lashon.
Yeah. We don't have a proof here. They don't bring anything as to how we know this. But yeah, that's what they say. Yeah.
So it's hard to understand. Like you would write a Torah in English.
Yeah, we don't understand it because we don't pass in that way. So we don't have to really try to appreciate it. But yeah, and it's also strange because the Gemara doesn't tell us why they allow for this. But Dei Nechanami, that's.
Also, with this pasuk from Shimon Gamliel, there should be tzivui l'chora to write it in Greek.
As opposed to a heter.
It's just like an option.
It's a hefter. It could be based on the Ruach HaKodesh, or the Kodesh Baruch Hu wrote the Torah, obviously, that he knew this Tami Melech HaMais would happen, and he kind of built in this hefter within it. Not that it's a tzivoy, but somehow a built-in hefter. Now, in terms of understanding the shittas of the Tanakhama, maybe the understanding is that we want the Torah to be understood by people, so no matter where a person comes from, no matter what his language is, we want it to be understood, as opposed to just a formal, you know, Masorah, there's an idea of the Yediyas HaTorah. Maybe that's the understanding of why B'chol Lashon would be allowed. I'm not sure. So now the new Mishnah tells us as follows. We're still in the Ein Bein. Ein Bein Kohen Meshuach B'Shemen HaMishcha L'Meruba B'Gadim. So there's two types of ways that Kohen Gadol can become a Kohen Gadol. A Kohen Hedyo gets promoted to Kohen Gadol. There are two ways out. In the times of Bais Rishon, where they had Shemen HaMishcha, a special oil that dated back to Moshe Benu, so through Shemen HaMishcha, he's anointed as the Kohen Gadol. Now, and by Sheni, they no longer had the Shemen HaMishcha, so the other way, based on Pesukim, the Gemara's Yuma, if you remember the first parak, the other way to get promoted to be a Kohen Gadol is by wearing Meruba Begadim, by wearing eight clothes. Because a Kohen Hedyot only wears four articles of clothing, the Kohen Gadol wears eight articles of clothing, by him donning those eight articles of clothing, he becomes a Kohen Gadol of Meruba Begadim. So what is the difference, says the Mishnah, between one who gets appointed through Shemen HaMishcha versus one who gets appointed through Meruba Begadim? So the Mishnah says, Ella, Par haba al kol mitzvos. What's par haba al kol mitzvos? If you look at Rashi, these are sugyas in Maseches Horios. Rashi says par haba al kol mitzvos. Karn Mashiach shehora heter bedavar shidizonakaris. If a Karn Gadol is mora heter, he said this is allowed. It's an item. It's an iser that's actually chayv karis and asay karasa maybe par. But he said you're allowed to do it. He made a mistake. He really made a mistake. He thought this was allowed, and he ended up following through on his own personal hara. He has to bring what's called a par kol mitzvos, he has to bring a karban chatas. That's what you're referring to. So only Shemen HaMishcha, Kohen Gadol, Shemen HaMishcha does have to bring such a karban. But if the same thing happened to Kohen Gadol, it's only Meruba Megadim, we not have to bring this par haba kol mitzvos. And that's simply based on the Gzeres HaKasev. As Rashi quotes, Shenemar im HaKohen HaMashiach, who's anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, Yechta L'Ash V'Sa'am, goes on to make such a hara and acts upon it. Only that type of Kohen Gadol goes ahead and brings the par haba kol mitzvos, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol that's only Meruba Begadim. Then the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish, L'Kohen She'avar, and L'Par Yom HaKippurim V'Asir Se'efa. The only difference between a Kohen Gadol who's active and a Kohen who is the backup, so the way it works is, if you look at Rashi just to get the pieces here, Rashi writes, Kohen Mishamish, Kigon. Shira Bo Psul, we'll call him, let's say, Ruvain's Kohen Gadol A. He has a Psul. Umino Acher, you point Shimon in his place, Tachtav, so now Shimon's the active Kohen Gadol. V'Avar Psul, now Ruvain's Psul goes away, so now Ruvain is now reactivated, and V'Chazer Lavodah, so he goes and works in the Beis HaMikdash. V'Aviru Haba Tachtav, now Shimon, who's a backup, he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. So the din is, he's still called the Kohen Gadol, he's just now the Kohen Gadol She'avar. He doesn't lose his status entirely, so now you have two Kohen Gadolim, one who's the active one, and one's the Avar Kohen Gadol. So what's the difference between the two? So the Mishnah says all the lachas actually apply. They both they have to marry a basula, they can't marry an almana, they can't marry a grusha certainly. So all those apply. The only difference is, says the Mishnah, Ein Bein Kohen Mishamish, L'Kohen Shavar, El Par Yom HaKippurim, V'Asir Se'efa. We know on Yom HaKippurim, there's a special par shel Aaron, a special par that the Kohen Gadol brings. So only the active Kohen Gadol, only the Kohen HaMishamish brings that par, not the Kohen Shavar. And also, Lagabe Asir Se'efa, every single day, the Kohen Gadol brings an Asir Se'efa. He'd split it in half. Half goes in the morning, half in the evening. And only the active Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol HaMashamish, brings that Asir Se'efa, as opposed to the Kohen Gadol She'avar, does not bring the Asir Se'efa. So those are the two differences between these two types of Kohen Gadolim. So the Gemara now makes the following diak. Ha, Le'inin Par Yom HaKippurim, V'Asir Se'efa, Zev Zashavim. So this is going back on the first part of the Mishnah. The difference between the Kohen Gadol Meruba Begadim and the Kohen Gadol Mishcha, the only difference the Mishnah mentioned was Par Haba Kol Mitzos. But Lagabe Par Yom HaKippurim, that both Kohen and Gadolim, whether you're Meruba Begadim or Shemen Mishcha, they both bring the Par Yom HaKippurim. They're never at the same time, referring to the Kohen Gadol Meruba Begadim in his time in Bayis Sheni, and the Kohen Gadol of Shemen Mishcha in Bayis Sheni, both of them respectively bring the Par Yom HaKippurim, and they also both bring respectively Asir Se'efa, both in their times. So the Gemara now says, Masis in our Mishnah is Dilo K'Rabbi Meir, cannot be like Rabbi Meir, why not? D. Rabbi Meir, had it been like Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah, the Brisa says, Hatanya, Meruba Begadim, maybe par, parba, akol mitzvos, divi Rabbi Meir. So he clearly argues, and he says that the Kohen Gadol, Meruba Begadim, does in fact bring the par, yumaki, akol mitzvos, which is against our Mishnah. Chacham omrim, eino maybe. So that machlok is in the Brisa, that our Mishnah clearly goes like chachamim, not like Rabbi Meir. So my time, what's the reason? What's the basis for Shita's Rabbi Meir? The Tanya, the Baraita says, Mashiach, ain't the other Mashiach, Mashiach, Mishcha. I only know that the Mashiach, a Kohen Mashiach, brings the power of Baal Mitzvot because that's the Mefurish Pasuk, like we saw in Rashi. Meruba begad l'minayin, Tam lomar, HaMashiach, the extra letter, hey, according to Rabbi Meir, includes not only the Mashiach, Mechah, Mashiach, Kohen Gadol, rather, but even referring to the Kohen Gadol, that's Meruba Begadim, he's included as well, which is Shita's Rabbi Meir, which is not like our Mishnah, who goes according to the Shita of Chacham. So now the Gemara says further, but Mayo Kimta de lo Kari Meir, how could you establish our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Meir? Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa of this very Mishnah here in Daf Tesamon Beis. It says, Ein bein koin mishamish l'koin shavar. There's no difference between the active koin gadol and the backup koin gadol. El apari makipurim v'asir sa'efa. Ha l'chol divreim zev zeshavim. Like everything else, it's equal. So now, us and Rabbi Meir, that's clearly the shita of Rabbi Meir, that they're equal to gabi everything else. How do we know that? Ditanya, I rabo psul umina koin acher tachtav. If you have a koin gadol, ruvein makolim, he has a psul, you point Shimon in his place, Rishon, and then he gets, Reuven gets healed, so Rishon chos el avodaso, Reuven goes back to be the Kohen Gadol, and Sheni, kol mitzvos hakuna gadol alav, divrei Rabbi Meir. All the halachas, all the mitzvos of the Kohen Gadol still apply to the second guy. So that clearly, our seifa, that applies all the halachas of Kohen Gadol to the Sheni, that's Rabbi Meir Shita. So what comes out is, our Mishnah, the ratio we said, is not like Rabbi Meir, and the seifa is like Rabbi Meir. That just finishes Brisa now. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Rishon Chozel Avodasa. The Rishon goes back to his post. He's the Kohen Gadol. The Sheni guy is stuck, according to Rabbi Yossi. Eino Roy Lo LeKohen Gadol, Lo LeKohen Hedyot. He's actually stuck. He can't be either one. He can't be a Kohen Gadol, because there's Ava we're going to see. He's going to have two Kohen Gadol. He's going to create animosity. He's going to create friction. He can't be a Kohen Hedyot, because Ma'am HaKodesh Shalom Aridim. He can't demote a person once he attained the level of Kedusha of Kohen Gadol. We can't demote him. So Rabbi Yossi says he's nothing. He's not a Kohen Gadol. He's not a Kohen Hedyot. He's stuck in the middle. Rabbi Meir, again, he's the one who says that the Kohen Gadol Shavar still retains the status of Kohen Gadol. So our Mishnah, again, the Reisha is not like Rabbi Meir, but the Sefer is like Rabbi Meir. And the Gemara goes on further. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Ma'isa b'Rabbi Yosef ben Ulam mitzipori, Shir bo psul b'Kohen Gadol. He wants there's a psul to happen. Uminu tachtav, he appointed a person instead. Uba Ma'isa l'fnei chacham v'amru, Rishon chozel avodaso. And the Sheni, Eino roi lo l'Kohen Gadol, lo l'Kohen Hedyo. So they paskin like Rabbi Yossi that this guy is stuck. The backup Kohen Gadol, he's stuck. He can't be Hedyot, Kohen Hedyot, he can't be. From first Kohen Gadol, he can't be. Why? Mishum Eivet's going to create friction and tension between two Kohen Gadolim, so he's no longer the Kohen Gadol when Reuven gets healed. Kohen Hedyot, he can't be Kohen Hedyot because Mishum Malin, Bekodesh Vlom Aridim. We can't demote a person. Once you reach a certain level of Kedusha, we can't demote him. Either way, what comes out here is Reisha Rabbanan, Sefer Rabbi Meir. The Reisha must have been the Shita Rabbanan, like we saw above, because Rabbi Meir says that Kohen Gadol, Meruba Begadim, does in fact bring a Par Haba Al Mitzos, which our Mishnah does not say. So our Mishnah is the Rabbanan, and the Sefer is Rabbi Meir. How could that be? So the Gemara answers, Amar Rav Chista in Reisha Rabbanan, the Sefer Rabbi Meir. In a Chami, I have no problem having two different authors of the Mishnah. The Reisha is Rabbanan, and the Sefer is Rabbi Meir. Comes along Rav Yosef, he says, no. Amar Rebbe, Rebbe is the one who authored, or at least he put together, the Mishnayos, V'nasiv la'alibah the Tanai. He paskin legabe Meruba Begadim like Rabbanan, and he paskin like the Rebbe Meir, legabe the lachas of Kohen Gadol Shavar. So there's no real contradiction here. Fine, that ends that discussion. So now the Mishnah tells me, the Mishnah on the bottom here says, that ain bain bama gadola, the bama katana, el psachim. So there used to have bamos. There was a bama gadola, which was the main bama. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says it's referring to a bama from Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, "Ein hefresh b'shas heter habamos bein bama gadola zem is beach shel Moshe ba'oda benov v'givon." When the Mishkan made its way over to Nov and Givon, they had all the different kalim included, and that was the bama gadola, which was like mizbeach from Moshe Rabbeinu. That's called the bama gadola. The bama katana was every person's own personal bama that was in the backyard. There was a heter to have it. I think it was over the 14 years when Yeshua was conquering and dividing the lands. Those 14 years were the only times you're allowed to have the bummels. Other than that, it was aser to use. The Rambam does not bring any halachas of bummels, I believe, because it's not relevant. It was a very short period of time. But there's a whole perek in Zvachim that's dedicated to halachas of bummels. So there's this bama gadola from Moshe Rabbeinu that was in the Mishkan in Nov and Gidon, and then everyone else their personal bama katana. The only difference between these two, says the Mishnah, is Psachim. That Psachim may only be brought on the bama gadola. You cannot bring a carbon pasach on a bama katana. That's the only difference, says the Mishnah. So then the Gemara, the Mishnah says another difference, another important point, rather. Zeh klal, this is the rule. Kol shu nidar v'nidav kar bebama. That which you could dedicate, you can make a dedication, can be brought as a bama. As opposed to, let's say, a chatas. A person cannot make a neder or a nedav of a chatas. That's not something that you could dedicate. You either owe it or you don't owe it. So an ola, you can dedicate an ola. V'chol she'eno lo nedav lo nedav. That which cannot be dedicated, eno kar b'bama. It cannot be brought on a bama. If you look at Rashi, Rashi is kar b'bama katana, referring to the personal b'bama katana. So it says that the explanation is, on your own person, b'bama katana, you can only bring a neder or a nedava. You can't bring that which is a chiv. A chiv must go to the b'bama gedola, to the mishkan, where the mishkan was settled, the nova and the gidon, but your backyard only you can bring another neder or nedava. So the Gemara now says, psachim v'sulo. So the only difference is psachim. That's the only thing you could bring on the b'bama gedola. We said the only difference between, in the beginning of the Mishnah, was b'bama gedola and b'bama katana was psachim. That means you could bring a carbon tamar in my backyard and b'bama katana. That's certainly not true. So it says Rashi, that all the chivim have to go on. Look at Rashi, psachim v'sulo. Psachim is the only difference between b'bama katana and b'bama gedola. V'katani, say for the very safe of this Mishnah, says, kol she'eno nidav v'nidav, eino karbon b'bama katana. That which you can't dedicate, which means anything that's a chiv, you cannot bring in a b'bama katana, you must bring on a b'bama gedola. So there are many differences other than psachim. With respect to the gedola, hayu makrivim karbanos tzibor tamidim musafim. You bring every tamid, you bring every musaf. That should be another difference, not only psachim. So the Gemara answers, no, ema keim psachim. Anything like psachim, in that anything that's a chov asman, like karban pasach is the yudal nisan, that's a chiv. So to the karban tamid, which is a chiv, the karban musaf, anything that's a chov asman must be brought on the bama gedola, not the bama katana. And Mani, who is the author of this Mishnah, must be none other than Rabbi Shimon. He, the Sani, the Brisa says that Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Tzibor lo krivu el psachim v'chovos shekavu lo zman. He expands the definition, not only psachim, but even any other chov that has a set time must be brought in b'ma gedola. Aval chovos shein kavu lem zman hachav hachal lo kariv. But if it has no set time, other chovos has no set time, you would not be able to bring it in either one. Just look at Rashi to explain this. Rashi says, go from Rashi Mani. Mani Masisin, who authored a Mishnah, the Katani Bibama Katana in Kariba Shum Chova. You can't bring any Chiv on Bama Katana at all. Vamar Debama Gdola, Oidifa Mine El Bachova Sakavul Lemzman. That Bama Gdola, you can only bring that which Chova of Kavul Lemzman. So, in other words, a Nether Nedava can be brought on Bama Katana. A Chova Zman can be brought on a Bama Gdola. A Chova that has no Zman at all cannot be brought on a Bama Gdola nor on a Bama Katana. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. So we'll stop here. We'll quickly recap what we did today. We first went through a little tricky understanding of the Targum and the Aramaic and the Mikra and the Ksav Ashuris, different answers why the Mishnah allowed Kol Svarim and the Braisa didn't allow all Svarim. We had some differences between maybe Sifrei Torah versus referring to Tefillin Mezuzos. We rejected that because Tefillin Mezuzos must be written v'hayu. That's an obvious point. The Gemara ended up concluding referring to really the Megillah, that Svarim could be written v'chol Lashon, Megillah must be written dafka in Ksav Ashuris. We brought a few rayas as to how we see Aramis that appears in Megillah. Then we brought a second answer, Rav Ashi, referring to, no, the difference between the Sifrei Torah versus Nevi'im Ksuvim. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel only allowed Sifrei Torah to be written in Yevanis, but Nach could only be written in Lashon HaKodesh. And we brought the mice of Talmi HaMelech, that he brought the 72 Tzadikim, 72 Rabbanim, and 72 rooms to write the Sifrei Torah in Yevanis, and all the 14 changes that they had made. And the Raya that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel allowed Dafka Sifrei Torah to be written in Yevanis was based on the Pasuk of Yefes, that the most beautiful language of Europe was Greek, and that was a special hat that you could write Sifrei Torah, and that's why we passed on like the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then we had the Mishnah of the difference between Karn Mishach, Bishimon, and Mishcha, for its Karn Merubim Begadim. The difference is Par Habal Kol Mitzvos, which is the sheet of Chachamim, because Rabbi Meir allowed a Karn Gadol Merubim Begadim to bring a Par Habal Kol Mitzvos. And then we had the difference between Karn Mishach, Karn Gadol Mishamesh, versus Karn Gadol Shavar. The difference was Par Yom HaKippurim, Nasir Se'efa. And then that other machlok is what to do with the Karn Gadol Shavar. Is he a Karn Gadol with all the mitzvos? That's Shitas Rabbanon, Rabbi Meir rather, and that's our Mishnah. Or Rabbi Yossi, who says he's stuck. He can't be a Karn Gadol because of Eva, can't be a Karn Hedyot because of Marin Lukos Be'in Maridim. We paskin based on the Maisa of Rabbi Yossi that Karn Gadol Shavar actually is stuck. And then we said, finally, the Mishnah, the difference between Bama Gedola versus Bama Katana, that anything that's a Neder Nedava is brought in Bama Katana. Anything that's a Chova Zman is brought in the Bama Gedola. That which is a Chova, but not a set Zman, that cannot be brought neither on a Bama Gedola or on a Bama Katana. Okay, everyone have a wonderful day.